Harari of ConsortiumNews.com discusses the escalating war in Syria. Also, KJ Noh and Phyllis Kim react to the agreement reached regarding Japan's treatment of the so-called comfort women. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host Dime Roberts celebrates the contributions of artists originally from distant lands who have made Portland their home with an end-of-the-year special compilation of the Migrations Project. And at 11:30, Andre Middleton hosts Art Focus, which features interviews, artists, curators, critics, and other art people. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in 2015. The year is almost over. Please think of KBOO in your year-end giving. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of WAMBA, Friday, January 1st, 2016, at 9 p.m. at the Analog Cafe in Portland. WAMBA is an African-inspired fusion band featuring improvisation with heavy African percussion breaks. The eight-piece band mixes traditional rhythms from Ghana and West Africa with Afrobeat, highlife, funk, and jazz styles. Again, that's WAMBA performing live Friday, January 1st at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 29th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a great guest today. Sarah Westover is an organizer working against LNG exports down in around Coos Bay. She was part of Hike the Pipe and is an non-stop activist protecting the wildlands that stretch between southern Oregon, not down into northern California. One goal is when you shut down pipelines, when you make it harder and harder to export / import fossil fuels anywhere in the world, you keep taking a small baby step towards keeping that stuff in the ground. The fact of the matter is that the mines and the pipelines, wells, and all of these, the excavation activity that has destroyed northern Alberta, all of this is in remote places, generally speaking, or in fact on First Nations land, which is the case in Alberta. So, that said, getting people out into the wilds is the first step. If we could get enough people out to the sources, we could stop this thing. Just a thought. We also, hopefully, we may be able to speak with Reverend Graylin Hagler. He is with the Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ in Washington, D.C. And he's the chairperson of Faith Strategies. He's an activist, and he is extremely familiar with the sources of I don't want to call it anger, the peacemaking, the forgiveness, and the but not forgetfulness of the African American community. We wanted to ask him to speak to the issue of the recent judgment in Cleveland regarding Tamir Rice, which shocked me so much. All I could do is pace around my house and babble senselessly, indulge in toddy last night. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was so staggering. The fact, too, that one whole group of people in the United States of America in 2016 is fearful of their lives. If they have young teenage boys, those boys, every time they step out of their house, and sometimes even when they're on their front doorstep, their lives are in jeopardy. The white America reads about it. White America understands intellectually what the situation is. But white America probably will never understand emotionally. They will never be able to comprehend what it must feel like to live in fear of your life, to know that when you do step out of your house, if you survive the travel to wherever you're getting, to your workplace, to a doctor's appointment, to the library, to the park, wherever you go, once you get there, you are met very often with conscious or unconscious or subconscious racist behavior on the part of the white community. It just happens, and it happens again and again and again. And we are not post-racist. We're barely even post-slavery. The way people are treated is exactly the way slaves were treated, escaped slaves. They were gunned down simply for being who they were, where they were. That's true. I fully admit on Air Cascadia, am I biased? Hell yes, I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. Who wouldn't be biased? If you don't have an opinion on this stuff, then you better check your pulse. Of course I am, but I admit it. I'm telling you straight up. Yes, I am. And I do believe that the racism in this country today has taken on a deadly, virulent form. The police are run amok. They can shoot one person. There's outrage. They shoot another. They get away scot-free every time. Why? Because it's in their training. They're trained to do that. If they think their lives are at risk, then they shoot first and ask questions later. It's part of the law of the land. Then that law was made by white people for white people. And it's racist through and through. That said, okay, while we wait to speak with Sarah Westover, and I want to just bring our listeners up to speed. Southern Oregon Rising Tide put out a message over the holidays. Rising Tide mailed festive postcards to several of their fracking foes with a special message. Bring the pipeline, expect resistance. And there has been resistance. A hike the pipe took place this summer. There's actions going all the time in Southern Oregon, and I want to encourage everybody who's able to get down there right now and stand in solidarity with activists down in Southern Oregon around Coos Bay to stop the Jordan Cove pipeline, stop that terminal from coming into existence. It will destroy what's left of our seacoast. Sarah, thanks for being with us today. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to listeners.
Sure, thanks for having me.
So there are things going on down there all the time. I just got this message from Rise of Tide and spoke to Jody McCaffrey, and now we want to have you bring us up to speed on what's going on down there.
Sure. So the opposition to, there's actually two proposed LNG export proposals in Oregon. The Jordan Cove project, which would be proposed for Coos Bay, and then the Oregon LNG project is proposed for Astoria. And we have been working over the past year to develop a really diverse, strong coalition, and have been organizing in rural communities throughout the state of Oregon to help stop these pipeline proposals. So our friends at Southern Oregon Rising Tide, as you just mentioned, they did a really great postcard that they sent to FERC and the Williams Company to let them know that Southern Oregonians aren't going to stand idly by while huge corporations come in and exploit our public lands and waterways for private gain.
So why is this so important? Once again, the Pacific Connector, that goes through some remote very beautiful, pristine wildlands. And we can expect, based on recent experiences, some pretty wild weather, very likely quite hot. These pipelines are under huge pressure. They cannot be monitored every inch of the way, which is what would need to be done in order to protect those wildlands. My question is, why is it that somebody's little house, which of course it's not a house, these are homes, these are that get idiots build out in remote areas. They live in homes. Their little homes are threatened. Why? Just a handful of people in a little home. They'll protect that, but they won't protect the wildlands, the very vulnerable, fragile places, what's left of them, between southern, as we just said, southern Oregon and northern California. The Pacific Connector is, how big is that? That's what, 36, 42-inch diameter pipeline?
So, yeah, the pipeline that is being proposed for the Jordan Cove project, the Pacific Connector pipeline, would be 36 inches in diameter and 232 miles long. And it would cross through four counties from Klamath County, Jackson, Douglas, and Coos out to a massive export terminal in Coos Bay, where there would be massive methane holding tanks. And right now, you know, as we've heard, the project would just have devastating impacts on more than 400 streams and rivers that it would cross, on wetlands, on miles and miles of public old-growth forests. And right now, where we're at in the process is the federal government has yet to make its final decision on the Jordan Cove project. We're expecting maybe at the end of this month, the FERC may issue the Certificate for Public Necessity and Convenience. And they have to determine in that certificate whether or not this project is in the public good. But outside of that, there's a whole array of state agencies that need to make permitting decisions on this project before it can move forward. One of those agencies, the Department of State Lands, currently has an open comment period on remove and fill permits. So anywhere that earth would be removed and for the pipeline construction or in Coos Bay would need to be permitted. And the Department of State Lands is charged with protecting our public lands, our public waterways, protecting our wetlands. And they're having two public meetings happening next week, one in Medford on January 6th and one in North Bend on January 7th. And those are the perfect opportunity for folks to turn out and tell our state agencies to protect the public lands that belong to all of us.
So has anyone done what really accurate, independent assessments of potential damage to wildlife habitat, both on land and sea? The terminal, of course, there is one type of oyster, I believe, that is indigenous to that bay, and it's the only one that's actually native to the West Coast. Other types of oysters that, you know, you often meet in restaurants, and you rarely meet them on their home turf, but those are imports from other places. The one that is actually native to this part of the world is in Coos Bay, and would basically that already somewhat threatened population would be destroyed should a terminal go in. Whether or not there's a spill, it's still, even if it's functioning perfectly, and even if they take every possible precaution, it's still damage to those waters.
That's right. Yeah, the dredging in the bay that would be necessary to bring in these big tankers that would come to pick up the liquefied natural gas to be exported overseas, that dredging would have devastating consequences for wildlife in the Coos Bay estuary. So we are talking about this project would have impacts on 32 endangered species just from the construction of the pipeline and the terminal itself. There's been a number of studies done on the environmental hazards and the safety hazards that this project poses for Oregon. And right now, it's up to us, it's up to our state agencies, to really take action and to say this project does not align with our state law. It does not align with our values as Oregonians, and we need to stop it. And our state agencies have the power to do that. And one of the people who, you know, really should be taking a stand against this issue and taking leadership on climate action is our Governor Kate Brown. She can not only challenge the federal government should they choose to approve this project, she can take that challenge to court, which is what a previous governor did in 2010. Governor Kulongowski challenged FERC and threatened to sue them if they didn't redo their analysis, which is terribly flawed.
Sarah, hang on a moment. So we definitely know that writing to the governor does have an effect. I have to let you go. I want to briefly touch on some of the weather patterns recently over the last weeks across the nation, which, again, it is foolish to build pipelines when you have to when you have an absolutely unstable, unpredictable weather conditions that are likely to become even worse in coming years. Could you just first give us, though, those dates and a contact, a number, a website where people go to find out more?
Sure. So folks can find out more at www.nolngexports.org. And you can find more about how to get involved and about the impacts of the project.
Sarah, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Cascadia. My guest has been Sarah Westover. She's an organizer working at Gates LNG Exports down in around Coos Bay. Thanks again, Sarah. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, December 29th. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Don't forget, a mammoth storm system engulfed the whole of the United States and claimed so far 24 lives. Think about it. Righto, thanks. Stay tuned.
And you're listening to